Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, Ryan Hoppy? This is Tony Romo.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
Listen to me, Randy. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, whether you're white or black or Sasquatch even. As long as you follow your dream, no matter how crazy or against the law it is. Except for Sasquatch. If you're Sasquatch, the rules are different.
Forget it, Meatwad. I'm a circus freak. That's all I'll ever be.
Whatever.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
I know has reached fairy.
Let me rewind that to begin the video right at the right point. By the way, this is Hoppy Hour, the show that never claims to be perfect a day in its life.
Bennifer 2.0 has reached fairy tale status.
And it just turned out to be something really magical.
E.T.
Yeah, when your relationship is being described as a fairy tale, that means it's going to end soon.
Has new details about Jennifer Lopez's romance with you-know-who.
Who?
With Ben Affleck.
How's that?
Amazing.
Oh,
a source close to the couple tells ET, J-Lo and Ben are doing great, and all has been good with them. Both are working a lot, but make plans to spend time with the family as well as each other.
I feel like all these videos where Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are being talked about, I feel like Alex Rodriguez watches it and it triggers him.
Well, give it away, but it has a very good ending.
The source adds that Ben is making Jennifer, quote, laugh constantly.
When I think of hilarity, I think of Ben Affleck.
Her kids also love Ben and feel comfortable with him.
That's good.
They feel like it's a fairy tale right now.
Oh, man. How is this going to end?
Well, J-Lo, the feeling is very mutual.
I'm ready. I'm excited about it.
In an interview last month, Ben praised Jennifer's influential career in the entertainment industry.
She is influential. You can't take that away from her. She's Jenny from the block.
Quote, I am in awe of...
But I don't think she knows where she came from. That line is pretty inaccurate.
Quote, I am in awe of what Jennifer's effect on the world is. At most, as an artist, I can make movies that move people. Jennifer has inspired a massive group of people to feel they have a seat at the table in this country. That is an effect few people throughout history have had, one I will never know, and one I can only stand by and admire with respect.
Wow. Pigs are flying now. The sky is pink. Ben Affleck's humble. I mean... It's never happened before.
I think we had chemistry as actors
from
the first moment we started working.
Plus, another source told ET the duo will be celebrating the holidays as a couple.
I like those Christmas sweaters, baby.
Mm-hmm. The source said, quote, they want to be together all the time, so their next big things are Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We're trying to get some. Can you see if we can get in the papers? Because I'm trying to get publicity.
Ask and you shall receive, Mr. Affleck.
Yeah.
That's Ben and J-Lo at the premiere of The Last Duel, which is just one of their many PDA-packed moments recently.
Oh, that's cool. All these celebrity relationships, making out in front of us, doing this and that in front of us. It makes you wonder what they're really like behind closed doors.
Watch out.
Yep.
Hoppy is about to rant.
Ooh, another celebrity crashing a wedding and making it about them because they're irrelevant. No, not... No. Not the other celebrities that have done it before. No. No, it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, Mr. X, you better run.
Tom Hanks is the ultimate wedding crasher.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, just what every wedding needs. Oh, hi. I'm, Tom Hanks, and I'm going to make everything about me. Me. I would be so angry if Tom Hanks crashed my wedding. I wouldn't even care if Tom Hanks was like, I will get you to all the podcast executives. That's a lie. But I'd be like, get out of here. Leave. It's my moment.
Hey, it's a nice day. It's a good day today.
The Oscar winner was on the beach in L.A. when he seemingly noticed the nuptials and made the couple's day.
My stock just exploded
because I've been irrelevant. They like that joke.
Can we have a picture?
Yeah. Who's more of a making it about themselves douchebag? Tom Hanks, who is such a great kid, or Bill Murray? We got to crash weddings because we're irrelevant.
Tom posed for pics with the newlyweds, who opened up to KTLA about the thrilling experience.
And we're gathering all the family together, and next thing you know, Tom Hanks walked through the whole crowd and said, hey, I just had to stop and see these...
Man, I don't care. It's pretty awesome that two women got married, though. I mean, good for him. You know, he definitely had a choice of weddings to crash. He's like, I could go to the heterosexual dude and a hot blonde, or I could go to the woke wedding, which is fine. I'm glad they got married. I'm just saying, Tom Hanks, not a genuine bone in his body, I think. I never met him, but I would assume.
Happy hour. Happy hour will be right back.
This following segment was brought to you by FitzAgeFitness.com. When I tell you that Devin Prasad is the best workout trainer in all of the Bay Area, I am a man of my words. I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't steer you in the wrong direction. If you live in Tampa Bay, you can work out with Devin Prasad at FitzAgeFitness.com. And guess what? If you don't, you can do virtual workouts. For all the info, because there's a lot of info, because you got to make it happen, Captain. You can't just go in and just start working out. For all the info, FitzAgeFitness.com. Tell them I sent you.
Happy hour.
Doctors say the life expectancy of the average man is now 76.2 years.
76.2, but I'm already 38.1. I've wasted half my life.
Oh, he got a fetus.
Call Hoppy now. 856-49-HOPPY.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Oh yeah, this is Happy Hour. I'm hanging out with you. My name's Ryan Hoppy, if you didn't know. I actually just found out the other week that that's my name as well. I'm so in the loop with everything going on in this world. Tweeted me at Ryan Hoppy Radio.
Yo, what's up?
Baby, let's go.
Oh, I'm ready. 856-49-HOPPY. It's 856-494-6773. You can tweet at me at Ryan Hoppy Radio. You can always email me, ryanhoppyradio@gmail.com. We're heard on the Quad Pod Network, QODPOD.com/Ryan Hoppy, and Z Radio Live. It's alive.com. And on the Odyssey app, search up Z Radio Live every Thursday at 5 p.m. East Coast time. What the hell is going on with LeBron James? Who is he talking crap about now?
Yeah, I don't like to end it.
LeBron James's review of Squid Game is now getting a review of its own from the creator of the
show. You know that bothered the creator because LeBron James is a worldwide figure. Squid Games is a worldwide name for the next 2 months, and then we'll forget about it. So pretty much, you know, it bothers him because the creator was implying that he was underpaid by Netflix. So you know he's trying to get as much clout as possible. And when you have LeBron saying, I didn't really like the ending, and if you were to ask me, I didn't like the first 10 seconds because everybody's yelling, everybody's yelling, kind of like my podcast.
A show. During a post-game press conference earlier this month.
I was thinking about it too. So my problem with Squid Games was it was very loud. Like when I want to watch something, I want to watch The Wire or Sons of Anarchy or something where it's not like completely believable, but where they're, it's more monotone and chill. You know what I mean? But then I was wondering, it's so popular, Squid Games, across the world. I wonder if they look at our programming and go, wow, it's boring and monotonous. You know what I mean? Because a lot of Americans, it might just be me, but were saying that it was very loud and annoying. And then that's the popular format overseas. So it makes you wonder, like, if the whole world thinks that is good TV. And then they look at us and they're like, oh my God, it's season 10 of Young Sheldon.
Month, the NBA star revealed to teammate Anthony Davis his thoughts about the series' final scene. Obviously,
I think LeBron James has more things to be focused on than the end of Squid Games. I would say getting your team to win a championship when you have six egos. I don't really think your opinion of Squid Games really matters right now. I don't think it, you know what I'm saying.
Obviously, we're entering spoiler alert territory here.
Yep, I did finish. Did you finish it? You watched it?
Yes.
You done?
Yes. I guess if you would like to send me about the whole.
Yeah, I didn't like the ending. No, I know they started off with a season two, but like.
And then here's the thing, he's not even being that mean. He's not like, oh, the show is trash. Like, I don't think the creator would like what I just said. But like, the creator's getting mad at LeBron because he said, I didn't like the ending. Hey, dude. He finished your show. Time spent watching, he watched everything. Be grateful. At least a worldwide player's talking about you. Oh, but we got to be perfectionists.
Like, get on the flight, go see the dog, bro. Like, what are you doing?
Now, in a new interview with The Guardian, the Squid Game's creator responded to LeBron's comments.
Why?
And threw a little jab back the NBA baller's way.
Can't wait for this dumb line.
Asking the outlet, have you seen Space Jam 2?
What in the Matrix hell?
Okay. But Space Jam 2 is not supposed to be a good movie. Space Jam 1 wasn't even that good. We just have nostalgia through our blood and our veins. It's the dumbest comeback ever. At least say something like, oh yeah, you lost in the first round to the Phoenix Suns or something. Oh, wow. Ripping into a guy who made millions making a movie? Whoa, what a comeback. No wonder it took you 10 years to have Squid Games matter.
Let's rewind. Squid Game became the internet's obsession when Netflix released it last month. The Korean series gained celeb fans including Kerry Washington, Billie Eilish, and Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon's probably watching it while on a bender. He's like, I like this. They're loud like me.
The cast also popped up on The Tonight Show.
Hey, Sue, when did you realize this show became so big?
Right around the time I realized I have a drinking problem and I'm not talented.
See him right now.
Oh, that's the big moment. Forget about being number one on Netflix. What an ass-kissing line by the actor. No. Forget about us being famous worldwide. The big moment was going on the lowly rated Tonight Show. Oh, wow. Everybody begs to go on Jimmy Fallon show. The only thing I would want from Jimmy Fallon is to go out drinking with him because that guy allegedly buys out the bar and I would get the fanciest drinks. I'll take 7 Moscow mules, please.
But with all the love comes some hate, which brings us back to LeBron's reaction to this final moment.
Oh, wow. I like his nice dyed red hair. It looks real. I love how they showed the line that has the subtitle, so it doesn't really matter. So you don't know what that's saying, unless you know what they're saying, which that's cool. 856-49-HOPPY. It's 856-494-6773. The show is fine. Like, I watched the first episode when the deadbeat dad's hanging out with his daughter and the deadbeat dad's not getting along with the family. Like, the acting was good, because they weren't yelling. They were communicating. But the problem to me with Squid Games was it's very much like watching an anime, which gives you a migraine. It's like, I'm not going to even reenact it, but it's just like, why? Lower your voice a little bit. And I'm sure the people over there at Squid Games would feel the same way about me.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
Happy hour will be right back.
This following segment was brought to you by the Tampa Bay Hot Sauce Company at TampaBayHotSauce.com. So there has all the locations of where you can purchase the hot sauce in person. But if you don't live in Florida, don't worry. Don't have a panic attack. You can order online at TampaBayHotSauce.com. And when you go there, you also see the recipes that the boys over at the Tampa Bay Hot Sauce make with their product. And when you get that nice hot sauce, tag us on Instagram at Ryan Hoppy Radio, at Tampa Bay Hot Sauce, and let us know what you cook up.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
Prepare for the flame. I'm having a nook fit.
Light him up.
Meatwad.
Here.
Encourage him in his habit.
That's a good smoker.
When did you start smoking?
This morning. I raise my wrist and I'm gonna get tore up.
We shall acquire some wine on the way to the mall.
And then you can get tore up.
And pass out in the hot sun.
That's my boy.
I don't think Meatwad should be hanging around with these moon people.
Watch out. Hoppy is about to rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Oh, yeah. 856-49-HOPPY. It's 856-494-6773. You can tweet at me at Ryan Hoppy Radio. You can always email me, ryanhoppyradio@gmail.com.
Seen visibly crying from the courtroom.
Yeah.
Ali Abulaban pleaded not guilty in the murders of his estranged wife, Anna Abulaban, and another man, Rayburn Barron.
First, he shot Rayburn Barron three times, and then he fired at his wife, leaving one gunshot wound in her forehead, again from close range.
You can hear the victim's loved ones disturbed over the details of the shooting police say happened last week. Suspect Ali Abulaban was known on TikTok by the username JinKid with nearly a million followers.
If I talk like Scarface, I think they'll know immediately what I'm doing. But I could try it. Here we go. There's a guy right here.
Okay, so what are the plans? You know,
okay, so when I first joined TikTok, I thought the impersonations were hilarious. The Donald Trump, you got that guy Jason Scoop. That does Donald Trump. And then you got that guy, AJ, that does Gary V and Jordan Peterson. And it's funny at first, but then it gets really old because you realize that these impersonators are just living off of other people's content and they don't have their own original content, because if they had their own original content, they'd be posting their own original content. And I've seen this guy before and he never gave me good vibes.
This one, I got it from iPhone, the store, the Apple store, you know, the orange store?
Yeah. People watched for his impressions, including Tony Montana from Scarface.
Oh, wow, what a relevant reference. Oh, wow, please do Marlon Brando while we're at it.
Now, by tomorrow morning, you're going to be
working in Alaska.
Oh, man.
Police in San Diego say Abulaban shot his estranged wife and the other man because Abulaban believed they were in a relationship.
Ah, that sounds healthy. So here's the thing, too. What's weird about the TikTokers that do the impersonations is you don't know the real side of them. You're just watching these people do impersonations of people. And then a lot of times they will either go live on TikTok or live on IG and they have the most boring personalities ever. And you're like, that's why you're TikTok famous doing impersonations, because you have nothing else to rely on.
The district attorney's office has not announced whether it will seek the death penalty if Abulaban is found guilty.
The death penalty is the biggest waste of time because it literally takes forever and ever and ever. Now, if you were to be killed the next day, then I would be like, hell yeah, bring on the death penalty. But no, you got to take forever and you got to waste taxpayers' money. So it's just like life in prison as well, man. Who cares? Can you imagine the next day you're found guilty and they put you in a chair? Bitch. Bye. One can wish. Oh, but we got to give these criminals, we got to get them the rights. But once you're found guilty, you shouldn't have rights. 856-49-HOPPY. It's 856-494-6773.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Hoppy is about to rant.
They're some of the most popular platforms for teens, now getting a new audience. Mm. Congress.
Parents of America cannot trust these apps with their children.
Your parents, how can you allow this?
I love how the politicians are trying to act like they care about our safety. get the hell out of here.
The companies, TikTok, Snap, and YouTube, facing questions about...
Oh, she sounds so cool. She didn't say chat. She said Snap. She's hip with the kids. Yeah.
TikTok, Snap, and YouTube, facing questions about how well they protect children, with the spotlight even hotter on big tech companies after the explosive claims made by a Facebook whistleblower just weeks ago about how...
That was weird when the whistleblower came out on 60 Minutes and talked about it, because the next day Facebook was down for 6 hours.
That site and its apps affect teens' mental health. And while Facebook was not a part of this recent hearing,
Facebook, and Instagram,
it came up plenty as the other platforms worked to distance themselves.
My thing is this. Facebook's really bad for your mental health, and I will get to that aspect in a second. But Facebook is the social media version of the NFL, because it's got a corrupt sociopathic leader, Roger Goodell, Mark Zuckerberg, and it's got all this dirtiness. It's got all these claims. It's got all this harassment. It's got all these bad mojo, all this bad energy within both companies, but there's nothing to do about it, and we continue to consume the product. We know that Roger Goodell is a dirtbag, and we know that they're covering up the emails from the Washington football team, and they just threw John Gruden under the bus, but we continue to watch, and they didn't really do much for any of the wife beaters, but Kaepernick kneeling, oh no, like we know the NFL sucks, but we continue to watch it. The same thing can be said for Facebook. We know Facebook sucks. We know they sell our info, but goddamn, we're addicted to it. And here's the point that I just saved in my brain that I'm going to open up now. So people can be addicted to drugs, sex. I find that debatable. I think you're alone. But I'm not going to go there, but I just did. Cigarettes, drugs, booze, whatever, food. I have a serious addiction to social media. And I watched one of those like motivational videos where they like put B-roll footage for 10 minutes of all these macho men. And then they talk to you about how bad social media is. And I watched it, and it pretty much said, like, you sleep 6 to 8 hours and you do this. And then I realized I'm spending 1/3 of my day on social media. Sometimes it was 7 hours, so I've cut back and I haven't been on it as much. And God damn it, has my life been better. I'm not saying to get rid of social media, And there's moments for 10 minutes where I find myself in a loop, but then I get out of it. And my screen time's been down like 45%. So I suggest that everybody take care of their mental health.
TikTok is...
I mean, unless you're cool with seeing everybody do a highlight reel of their life and you're seeing everybody lie to themselves and you think that's fun, go ahead, do it. But for me, I'm good.
Arms worked to distance themselves.
TikTok is not a social network based on followers.
We do not support.
Yeah, it is. TikTok's not a... Wait.
TikTok is not a social network based on followers.
We do not.
That is why politicians are the most out of touch, disgusting human beings. They claim to know everything and to be better than us because they were elected into a position. But then they have the most out of touch false opinion like this.
TikTok is not a social network based on followers.
You can't go live on TikTok unless you have 2,000 followers. And literally every TikToker that reaches 2 million freaks out. But, oh, because I'm not on TikTok, I'm just going to make the false claim that it doesn't matter about followers. Shut the hell up.
Not support features such as comments or live chat.
Snapchat was a decidedly different platform that was private, where people could come and actually talk to the friends that they have in real life.
That's also not true. What are they talking about? Snapchat was how you would talk to girls that you never met on Bumble or Tinder because they didn't want to give out their number yet. Snapchat was what you got from some drunk dude that you were vibing with at the club. Yes, if you're a high schooler, maybe you're talking to your friends, but there's a lot of people, listeners, like these politicians have such a simple, minded version of what they think social media is. And these are the jackoffs who are running our country? God. TikTok doesn't matter about followers. What? Oh, Snapchat, you're only talking to your friends. What?
For some lawmakers, that's not enough.
Being different from Facebook is not a defense. That bar is in the gutter.
The companies pointing to safety mechanisms already in place, like parental controls, and more in the works to protect teens from bullying or inappropriate content.
We're open to getting feedback from outside experts and policymakers and parents about what...
The feedback. They're going to say that your apps suck, and then you're going to do nothing about it.
Ways we can improve.
But experts say now...
Ways you can improve. Facebook, if you're listening to this, unhide live videos. You have ruined the creative process for live videos and creators. Periscope is dead. Instagram Live is okay. But you want to take some critiques? Quit hiding fake news or continue to hide fake news, but quit hiding things about Hunter Biden and anybody on the left. And help out the creators, too. Oh, we're so listening to your issues. They're not listening. They're a bunch of jackoffs.
Congress needs to do more.
We cannot have the platforms committed to monitoring themselves. We need regulation.
Monitoring themselves. They're the ones that are ruining our mental health. Looks like their monitoring doesn't do much.
At this point.
What could that...
Doesn't do much. Doesn't make sense. It's making them money. You know what I mean?
Look like, beyond stricter privacy laws, Congress could consider protections for kids and teens, like banning like buttons and autoplay. Requiring platforms to have a way to flag harmful content.
Well, they're already doing that. So, we're going to continue to do something we've already been doing? Whoa!
Or preventing websites from promoting influencer ads.
Nice try with that. You're not going to do that. You're making so much money from that.
There's just been a lot of, we are better than this.
Really? You don't say Senator Amy Klobuchar?
We don't want to deal with Washington. Well, now Washington is in their face.
Oh, man, that sounds terrible. 856-49-HOPPY.
Criminal charges are a possibility in the accidental shooting on the New Mexico set of Alec Baldwin's movie Rust that left cinematographer Helena Hutchins dead and director Joel Souza wounded. Mm-hmm. Santa Fe County District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwies told the New York Times in a phone interview on Tuesday that nothing has been, quote, ruled out, adding...
Here's what's annoying about this, is that all the Republicans are now doing, like, their pro-gun flexing, like, yeah! Alec Baldwin didn't know about guns! Yeah! Of course he didn't know about guns. He's an actor. The liberal jack-off. Of course he didn't know what guns do. Of course he didn't know how to operate it. But that karma of rooting for Alec Baldwin to fail and being glad that Alec Baldwin's in trouble is disrespectful because, number one, it's a slap in the face to the life that is now gone. And number two, you're saying that because Alec Baldwin was mean to Donald Trump and that bothered you. But now you're being mean to Alec Baldwin? You can't have it both ways. Be the better man.
Quote, everything at this point, including criminal charges, is on the table. And that, quote, weeks, if not months, of follow-up investigation are ahead. Charges weren't announced during a press conference with Altwies and Santa Fe County Sheriff Auden Manzota on Wednesday, but they did confirm that 600 items of evidence have been recovered, including a lead projectile that was removed from Sousa's shoulder. Mendoza added that Baldwin remains a, quote, active part of the investigation.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't want to get any criminal charges, even though he'd get away with it because he's a millionaire.
And that he, along with armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed and assistant director Dave Halls, have been cooperative. Prior to the conference, Santa Fe Sheriff's Office spokesman Juan Rios said in a statement that media interest in the case is unprecedented. No arrests have been made.
Yeah, you know, they're like, they don't want to do all the paperwork of the arrests.
Authorities confirmed last Thursday that Baldwin had discharged the weapon in question.
I'm just trying to figure out why he was discharging it. That's where I'm a little confused. Obviously, he didn't want to murder them, but, like, it's common sense.
Enforcement is determining what type of ballistics were involved. A search warrant affidavit obtained by Access Hollywood cites that Baldwin had been told the gun was, quote, cold or without live rounds.
But that's the thing, is, like, I get that he was told it was cold. I get that he didn't mean to do it, but it's like you always assume. I don't know anything about guns and I wouldn't, I don't know.
Before he handled it during a rehearsal, the weapon fired and a projectile struck Hutchins in the chest and Sousa in the shoulder. According to the documents, camera operator Reed Russell told police that six members of the crew had walked off set prior to the shooting amid complaints about payments and housing.
That's what's annoying too, is whenever something traumatic, whenever something tragic and awful like this happens, then you hear about all the things prior that were bad and you're like, ugh, whatever. Like, and I'm not saying whatever, like it doesn't matter, but it's just so defeating because it's like they were just looking to make the movie. They didn't care about safety. The movie was called Rust.
Sousa said that filming that day had gotten a late start due to the hiring of a replacement crew who was working with only one camera.
That sounds good.
On Friday, Baldwin spoke out publicly for the first time on Twitter to honor 42-year-old Hutchins' memory and pledge his commitment to aiding authorities in their investigation.
Hearing what Alec Baldwin has to say about it makes sense. But I don't need to hear from his dumb wife, Hilaria, that fake imbecile. I don't need to hear from Hailey Bieber. I don't need to hear from anybody. And then the New York Post, the first time Alec Baldwin's seen in public with his family since the issue. It's like... why are we not making it about the victim? And by saying victim, you're making it seem like he meant to do it. But, like, I don't know why. Well, okay, so, like, if Hilaria Baldwin was like, I'm glad she's dead or something horrific, then maybe report it. But the same quotes of this is awful, no, duh.
Writing, there are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife, mother, and deeply admired colleague of ours. I am fully cooperating with the police investigation to address how this tragedy occurred, and I am in touch with her husband, offering my support to him and his family.
I don't know. I get it. I get that you're trying to help out the husband and you feel bad, but I just don't think I'd want to hear from you. I wouldn't want to hear from Alec Baldwin anyway. But especially after this happens, I'd be like, bro, just go live your millionaire life, whatever.
My heart is broken for her husband, their son, and all who knew and loved Helena. The actor and producer has been photographed spending time with Hutchins' husband, Matthew, and 9-year-old son since the tragedy. 48-year-old Souza was treated at a local hospital for his injuries and shared his sorrow for Hutchins' loss in his first statement over the weekend, saying, quote, "I am gutted by the loss of my friend and colleague, Helena. She was kind, vibrant, incredibly talented, fought for every inch, and always pushed me to be better. My thoughts are with her family at this most difficult time."
856-49-HOPPY. We're about to hear from his daughter. It's 856. No, she's not here. 494-6773. That would be in a news clip, which we are going to get to right now. Tweet at me, at Ryan Hoppy Radio, and you can always email me, ryanhoppyradio@gmail.com.
Ireland Baldwin is defending her famous father from criticism from Candace Owens.
Oh, he is pretty famous. I was not aware.
Ireland Baldwin is defending her famous father from criticism from Candace Owens.
Yeah, Candace Owens is such a bitch. Like, she's talented. She's good at what she does. But, like, she was making it about Trump when this happened. I was like, go away, you hack. You don't even believe what you say. It's just propaganda mumbo jumbo.
The 26-year-old daughter of Alec Baldwin slammed the conservative commentator on social media after her harsh take on the Rust actor's accidental onset shooting, which claimed the life of cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injured director Joel Souza. Baldwin discharged the prop gun in the incident. Mm-hmm. Following the tragedy, Candace wrote in a since-deleted tweet, "Alec Baldwin spent 4 years dedicated to painting Donald Trump and his supporters as evil murderers. What has happened to Alec would be an example of poetic justice if it weren't for the actual innocent people that were murdered by him. Pray for their families. So sad."
Oh, shut up. You're going to make it about Trump and then say pray for the families? Oh, I'm sure you pray all the time, you dirty, rotten hack. Oh, enough of her. I agree with some of what she says, but it's like, shut up. God, I can't. Why does everything need to be political? We don't even appreciate life anymore.
Later, Candace appeared.
Also, before I get to this, Candace Owens is such a hack too. If you're going to tweet such a bombastic, awful opinion, at least stick by it. You know? Be a strong, independent woman. Have the guts. Have the integrity. That's right. She doesn't have integrity. She's a hack. And I would say the same about a liberal journalist. Like, if you're going to say something so awful, at least stick by it.
Appeared to remove the message and followed it up with this tweet. "Will correct my tweet to say Alec Baldwin killed someone, not murdered someone, as murder carries a different legal definition."
I don't know who Candace Owens exactly works for. I know she goes on Fox News a lot, and I think Newsmax, that right-wing nutjob network, and I think she's got her own podcast. She might be a part of Podcast One, but whoever she works for probably was like, yeah, you should probably delete this tweet now.
Ireland caught wind of Candace's initial tweet and slammed her for it in a series of Instagram stories. The first read, "You are the most disgusting, hateful, cancerous human being I've ever come across. Regardless of your foul opinions most of the time, the fact that you would disrespect the life of a woman who was accidentally and tragically killed, shame on you."
I know Alec Baldwin's daughter has not always been close to her father, but shout out to her for defending her father when this dirty, rotten imbecile known as Candace Owens, who goes to sleep alone at night because no one could deal hanging out with her. Good for her defending her father.
In another, Ireland wrote in part, "I am ashamed to breathe the same air as this woman."
Me too.
The model went on to encourage any of her own followers who support Candace to press unfollow and argue that the media personality's, quote, tweets, lack of information, and ignorance are hurting people.
You know who Candace was? She was the person who sat in the back of the class and nobody noticed her. She was the person who, like, wasn't popular growing up but got good grades. So she's like Ben Shapiro, where now it's her power trip.
Candace then fired back at Ireland's words in an Instagram stories post of her own, writing in part, "Ireland Baldwin is in my DMs because I don't feel bad for her psychopathic father. Feel bad for the victim, not Alec."
Oh, well, karma's going to hit her. I don't know how it's going to hit her. I don't know what it's going to do, but you can't just run your mouth and say bad opinions like that and get away with it forever. A good riddance. Mm-hmm.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
Happy Hour will be right back.
This following segment was brought to you by WestchasePrinting.com. WestChase Printing, DJ Tone Tampa on Instagram. When I tell you that they are the best printing company in all of the Bay Area, I'm a man of my words. Posters, yard signs, business cards, whatever the hell you need. And when you get that nice invoice, he's going to already hook you up with a great deal, but he'll hook you up with an even better deal.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
Well, it was good while it lasted,
true.
I guess.
But Sheriff, the glory hole is the pride and joy of Dougal County.
Fella found an even older glory hole two towns over. Lord knows I ain't looking forward to telling the tourism board about this.
Such an elegant concept. A simple, lowly hole to commemorate his glory.
Call Hoppy now. 856-49-HOPPY. Tweet at him at Ryan Hoppy Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Watch out. Hoppy is about to rant.
You knew when you got that ball, the significance of it, right?
Not immediately when I got the ball. I was just super excited to be getting a ball from Mike Evans at that point.
Right.
It wasn't until a couple minutes later where I really realized, like, this was the touchdown ball. This was the big one that mattered. So right away.
So this is the guy who Mike Evans caught Tom Brady's 600th touchdown, and Mike Evans in the end zone flipped the ball to this guy, and the guy kept it. Mike Evans didn't realize that that was Tom Brady's 600th touchdown ball. So this guy got a lot of free swag. He got like all this, like 2 years of season tickets, this and that. It was all worth like $10,000, I believe. And he was getting even more. And all these Buck fans were like, which is how they mostly sound. They're all like, how could you let him take away the ball from you? Why don't you want the $500,000? I'm like, I don't know. It's pretty cool that you get Tom Brady's signature and probably a picture with him. Like, I would return it. I don't know.
Hey, no, I didn't. But pretty soon afterwards, I found out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you something. When as I watched this happen on Sunday.
How much cocaine did this news reporter do?
The evening and I did, knew nothing about you except I saw you hand that I'm seeing you right there saw you hand that ball back, and I went, this guy is my hero, because clearly he, whether or not it was the financial right thing to do, it was just the right thing to do. And I think you feel that way, right?
Oh, Russ Rhodes.
I do, and it makes me happy to hear you say that. I think the vast majority of people think that. And
a lot of the scumbags don't. So, yeah, this guy gave the ball back, and all these Buck fans were freaking out about it. I'm like, God damn, this is a sport. This is a game. This is football. Relax.
If I would have taken the ball home, it's not something I would have sold. It would have been in a display case. I would have got and put it in my a room at my house back home. So
yeah, he's not really about the money. He's more about, you know, having things. So when he gets free swag from the Buccaneers and exchange, geez, that was hard to say, for the ball, I think he's fine with that. Moving on. What the hell going on with everybody's favorite sociopath known as Angelina Jolie?
Angelina Jolie is getting real about being a mom.
Yeah. When I think of a real person, I think of Angelina Jolie. Oh, such a good person.
The Eternals actress opened up to People about raising her six kids. And
there's a lot of kids that aren't yours.
Admitted she feels inadequate at times, saying, quote, I'm that mom that if I see your rebellious spirit, it warms me. And I think, good for you. You got fire. I'm not a perfect parent by any means.
Who is?
Every day I feel like I'm more aware of everything I don't do right. And I'm pretty tough on myself.
Yeah, like keeping the kids away from their father?
Because I feel often, am I doing the right thing? Did I say the right thing?
No, you kept the kids away from their father.
The Maleficent star and her ex, Brad Pitt, raised their children, Maddox, Zahara, Pax, Shiloh, Vivian, and Knox, throughout their 12-year relationship, before Angelina filed for divorce in 2016. The former couple's children range in age from 20 to 13. The 46-year-old, who has been locked in a heated legal battle with
Man, I would have thought she was older.
Brad told People her kids are who help her heal, saying,
Oh, that's healthy. You're having your kids help you heal. Ah, living through your kids. Ah, sounds healthy. Man, you are not a perfect parent then.
Quote, my children have done many, many loving things. My children's kindness has been very healing to me.
Get a hobby, and let them see their father.
The Eternals actress also opened up about fostering their diversity and individuality, telling People, quote, I have six very individual human beings in my home. I am so excited about all the different feelings and curiosities that they go through. Why wouldn't you be? We're supposed to help them figure out who they are. And you can't figure out who they are if you don't enthusiastically develop with them.
Yeah, and a way to let them develop is to let them be around a father figure like Brad Pitt, who's fighting to see their kids.
Angelina went on.
This is her gaslighting everybody to forget that she's keeping the kids away from their father.
To say that her kids are great people and explained that they have a significant influence on each other, adding, quote, it's not like I'm the head of anything. I'm very honest with my kids and I'm very human with my kids. And so I think when they see me standing up there being a superhero, they don't see somebody who's got it all together.
Oh, we know.
They see the person that they've known go through many different things.
Like keeping the kids away from their father.
Struggle to deal with different things.
Like keeping the kids away from their father.
Try her best, fail, be this, be that, and then stand up.
This is her just doing a poem about how great she is and how much of a martyr she is, and we should bow down to her. Oh, you're so great, Angelina!
Ugh. Know all that. Access Hollywood Sibley Scholes caught up with Angelina at the premiere of Marvel's Eternals last week. And she-
I totally saw that movie. I don't think anyone did.
She explained what her family thought of her costume from the movie.
The moment I showed my kids for the first time was a bit of a moment. They were very sweet. It was almost like, it's good, Mom. You're gonna be okay. It's gonna.
Yeah, but we needed her father.
They're very supportive. Like you were the child when I was the child.
Yes. Oh man, I bet she was a brat.
And then to be honest, when we walked on set, I think that was the moment of, oh God, here you go. You walk on set. But we're such a group, and you walk on set and you see each other, and within just a few minutes, everybody was saying, you look great, or I want to be you for Halloween, or that's so special. And it was very bonding.
Oh, man. Was the father there to be included on the bonding?
Angelina Jolie was recently asked about her rumored relationship with The Weeknd, and...
Oh, yeah, she's just doing a... impersonation of Kate Beckinsale banging all the people in her 20s.
We've got to talk.
A midlife crisis!
Talk about her response. Let's get into it.
In case you missed it, Angelina and The Weeknd broke headlines earlier this year when the pair was spotted going on a series of seemingly romantic dates, sparking immediate dating rumors. In June, the two were seen dining together at the celeb fave restaurant Giorgio Baldi in Santa
Monica. Oh, my favorite!
Monica, and since then, they've been seen leaving the same private event and were pictured again at Giorgio Baldi in September.
I'm just waiting for the picture of when they're walking outside of their apartment with messy post-sex hair. That'll be hot.
Months after the first reports of their alleged romance surfaced, Angelina was finally asked about her relationship to Abel, and we could not wait to hear her response.
I had no idea The Weeknd's name was Abel.
When speaking with E! Daily Pop host Justin Sylvester, Angelina was asked whether her kids were more excited about her Eternals role or the fact that she is friends with The Weeknd, perhaps implying a little underlying romance between the two. Angelina, who was sitting next to her Eternals co-star Salma Hayek,
now that's a beautiful woman,
looked super uncomfortable.
She always does.
They're very excited about this film, if that's what you're asking. They're very excited about this film.
I don't care. What a personality. They're very excited about this film. I keep my kids away from their father.
You know what I mean?
That's a huge pitfall.
Yeah, it is.
Jada Pinkett Smith is opening up about one of the tougher parts of maintaining a good sex life with husband Will Smith throughout.
Yeah, when you're banging people in their 20s that are like three times that you're three times their age, you're going to have a hard time with your husband.
The decades. The Red Table Talk star got candid about the topic during an open conversation about all things sex with her mom and co-host Adrian Banfield Norris and guest Gwyneth Paltrow. Jada said that in comparison to Gwyneth and Adrian, who have been married to their husbands for 3 and 5 years, respectively, keeping her and Will's sex life strong throughout their 23 years of marriage hasn't always been easy.
Jada Pinkett Smith seems like an awful human being. No, it's not because she's a woman or whatever. It's just normalize getting divorced. Like, it seems like they want to be together to be this power couple, but I love when people tell me, and this is going to be a controversial opinion, and not everybody's going to agree with me, but this is why open relationships don't seem to work. I don't know.
It's really hard.
I know. I'm sure.
I mean, the thing that Will and I talk about a lot is the journey. I mean, we started.
I mean, if you're Will Smith, how do you go back to Jada Pinkett Smith after you allegedly banged Margot Robbie? I mean, you're like literally having a caviar meal and then Jada Pinkett Smith is like going to Aldi's.
In this at a very young age. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not because of how she looks or anything, just she seems like a bad person.
You know, 22 years old.
Gwyneth previously talked about being accountable for your sexual self. And Jada said,
gross. I love this new like woke thing. No, this is not about politics or race. It's the woke thing where we have to normalize all these weird relationships and they don't seem happy at all, but then they're telling us that they're happy, so we're supposed to believe it. Like every open relationship I've heard about, it begins well, but then ends bad.
She said that the point really hit home for her within her marriage to Will.
I think you expect your partner to know.
And then she's a whole embarrassment to her family. I mean, this is her legacy. Having a lot of sex and throwing her husband, the father of her kids, under the bus.
Especially when it comes to sex.
Right.
It's like, well, if you love me, you should know.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If you love me,
you should be able to read my mind.
You should read my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's possible.
Jada then shared more.
Maybe we should be able to read his mind and see how miserable you make him.
About learning to be open about her desires and encouraging Will to do the same.
Yeah. Tell me.
I can't take this garbage. 856-49-HOPPY. I'm going to take a quick break because I feel like, I'm not going to take a break. I was going to say a whole one-liner about how I feel like I need to wash my hands, but she's not that scummy. She doesn't even really matter to me that much. She's not a good person.
So if Kris Jenner decides to retire, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon.
Never.
Who among the many family members would step into her Gucci midnight blue satin pumps?
Probably Kim.
Figuratively speaking, of course. During an interview with the Wall Street Journal, when Kim was asked if she would take over as the momager when Kris decides to step away, Kim admitted that they have talked about it, and she said she would assemble a team of people to take over the role. The Skims founder added, I hope it doesn't happen for a really long time.
Yeah, she'll live to be 190 million.
Because I'm really busy. Switching gears to Scott Disick's ex, Amelia Hamlin, because she appears to be doing just fine in the wake of her breakup. Recall the model and Scott broke up in early September after less than a year of dating, but now all that trouble seems to be in the past after Amelia's latest Instagram post.
Because social media is always genuine.
Shared a series of photos on October 24th of herself at a restaurant in New York City, just enjoying the food and the atmosphere. She captioned the picture, really, really happy.
Really happy people have to let us know they're happy.
I'm happy for her. Breakups can be really hard. And
I think dating and breaking up with Scott Disick is a little easier than most breakups. You realize you're better off.
It's nice to see that she's handling it like a mature adult.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wait, I probably forgot to mention that the first photo in the series, she's smiling and giving the middle finger to the camera. Could this be a message to Scott? Guess we'll have to wait and see.
No, she's talking to Joe Biden.
And continuing with some departing news, it looks like Travis Barker is moving further away from his ex, Shayna Mochler.
I would, too.
After his recent engagement, the Blink-182 drummer took to Instagram and showed off a stencil of his new tattoo that covers up his old one, which was a tribute to his ex.
I know that bothers her for some reason.
The new tat is an all-black scorpion close to his bicep, which was etched over a heart that had a banner with Shayna's name on it. He also showed off another tattoo that he got, which is Courtney's lip print in black.
Sexy, I think.
Placed right by the scorpion's tail. Now that is literally a kiss to last a lifetime. Also, if you're wondering...
Not until your body's in the ground decaying.
How Shayna feels about this. While she hasn't responded directly, she did post an Instagram story of a still from the film Point of No Return, along with a quote from the movie saying,
man, everybody's so passive aggressive. All these celebrities act so big and badass, and then they hide behind passive aggressive memes. I kind of do the same thing. 856-49-HOPPY.
Scott Disick is, quote, still processing ex-Kourtney Kardashian's engagement to rocker Travis Barker.
Move on, bro.
And I just don't like seeing you with another guy.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have made it not work, and you should have been a man and fought for her. But your IQ is probably not very high because of the way you talk with your vocal fry. I can tell you're not very smart, so you probably let the relationship go to waste.
Source tells ET Scott is, quote, also trying to get under Courtney's skin by being spotted out and about.
What a loser.
This after paparazzi snapped the reality star clubbing with a young model.
Man, he's getting creepier and creepier.
Our source says Scott is not dating anyone seriously yet.
I don't think he ever has. Even in his most serious relationships, I don't think it was ever serious.
After his breakup with Amelia Hamlin in September.
She's better off.
I think you just have to read the press, and Amelia did.
But, quote, he is getting back to going out and hitting the party scene again.
That's what every healthy 39-year-old that's obsessed with their ex-wife does.
So I figured this would be the move to make.
And when it comes to the current status of Scott's relationship with the rest of the Kardashian-Jenner fam, our source adds, quote, Scott is still very close with Kris. He and Kris talk to each other all the time.
Weird.
He will still be included and welcomed in various Kardashian celebrations.
Yeah, he had kids with her. Duh.
Including holidays, as he is still their family. But right now, he doesn't know if he will choose to be around.
Yeah, it's probably better off. Go, leave. No one wants you. Bye. It was good knowing you. Go into oblivion. You hack.
We'll see.
Travis popped the question to Courtney on October 17th after less than a year of dating.
And this is such a dream come true.
Shortly after the engagement news broke, a source told dating.
I love this quote about it.
This is such a dream come true.
Such a dream come true.
Shortly after the engagement news broke, a source told ET that Scott, the father of Court's three kids, was not jumping for joy.
Yeah, and man, can you imagine having him as a father? That sucks.
Stating, quote, Scott is stewing over Courtney and Travis's engagement and not happy at all. He's lonely right now and not in a relationship and is very jealous that things are working out for Courtney. Scott would.
He is the definition of the opposite of big dick energy, small dick energy.
Prefer to go back to when he and Courtney were just getting along as co-parents without anyone else in their lives romantically.
That's called being controlling, and that's frightening.
I'm not like, I don't know, I'm just like living life and...
That's good, man. Glad you're living life. 856-49-HOPPY.
Now, if you're looking for a fight, you've come to the right place.
Why?
Rumors have been swirling around that Austin McBroom might be entering the ring with fellow YouTuber turned boxer turned rapper KSI earlier.
All these people I don't really know.
Next year. McBroom uploaded a cryptic Instagram story that read, I'm retiring from social media and I'm trying out for the NBA. But then he added another story saying, I'm playing KSI, I'll see you in January.
Cool.
With a boxing glove emoji.
Trust me, no one's going to care about that fight besides their fans. You are not going to get any outside viewers.
However, fans were quick to point out that KSI is going to be on tour for at least a part of January 2022, so we'll have to wait and see if this is really going to happen.
Yo, I'm KSI! Whatever his rap music is.
And speaking of fights, it appears that Jake Paul might not have been too happy with Pete Davidson making him the butt of the joke.
Yeah, I don't really see Jake Paul as someone that really takes a joke well. Hi, I'm Jake Paul, and I have self-awareness. Get the hell out of here.
On Saturday Night Live. In the sketch, Davidson portrayed Jake and announced his next opponent in the ring would be the late, great Muhammad Ali during a fake interview with Jason Sudeikis. Jake posted the sketch to his Instagram account and captioned it, LOL at SNL, got jokes, this was funny, Pete, but I'm still slapping you next time I see you.
Oh, wow, what a tough guy. I'm going to slap you.
Recall several months ago, Pete commented on the Ben Askren, Jake Paul bout and said, shows how low boxing has sunk.
Damn right, buddy boy.
Yikes. Watch out for these two because we might see them in the ring next. And moving.
I don't think Pete Davidson's getting in a ring anytime soon. Why? Because I don't really see him as somebody who would quit weed to go into a boxing match.
Moving on to Addison Rae because she was recently banned from her old stomping grounds, TikTok. The He's All That star discussed the situation on the Rain with Josh Smith podcast and revealed that she.
My favorite one I've never listened to.
She had been talking with
her. Even though they would say the same about me.
Her friends about how sometimes social media is so toxic and she wished that everything could sometimes go back to the way it used to be.
It's called living in a past. And everyone does. 856-49-HOPPY.
Friends and family of the late Mac Miller can finally get some sort of closure as one of the men prosecutors say indirectly supplied the pills that caused his fatal overdose has pleaded guilty. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Back in September of 2018, beloved rapper Mac Miller suffered a fatal overdose at age 26 from what was later confirmed to be fentanyl-laced pills. Three men, Stefan Walter, Cameron Pettit, and Ryan Reeves, were arrested in connection to the case.
You look at them and they just look like drug dealers that would have fentanyl. They don't look like somebody that would be successful. I wouldn't want to be seen around them.
And were officially charged with
They're privileged white boys from the suburbs that are dealing drugs. Losers.
Fighting the drugs that killed Mac in a federal grand jury indictment back in October of 2019. According to court documents recently obtained by TMZ, Stefan Walter officially entered a guilty plea on one count of distribution of fentanyl, while the other drug-related charge, conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance, was dropped.
It's called having a good lawyer and being a rich white boy. The thing, too, is you know when they found out that he died, they were like, uh-oh.
Prosecutors have alleged that Stefan is the one who
indirectly provided the Percocet pills to Mac by way of his alleged dealer, Cameron Pettit, who agreed.
I have no idea if the sound quality just went down or not, but it seems to be better. But it sounded on my end like it was underwater. And maybe that's a sign that we should move on. Rest in peace, Mac Miller. If this show was allowed to play music, I would play Senior Skip Day, but I can't, so that sucks.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.
Happy Hour will be right back.
This following segment was brought to you by Rich Keeley Master Barbershop. At Rich Keeley Master Barbershop on West Kennedy Boulevard at Salon Loft, right next door to McDonald's. You can sign up for the appointment at richkbarber.com, but you got to schedule ahead of time. You can't just go there. He's a very busy man. And when you sit down in that chair after signing up for an appointment at richkbarber.com and you tell him I sent you, he will hook you up.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.
This little guy. Buddy, if I had a peanut, I'd give it to you.
Bizarre, I love you. Bizarre, I love you.
Hey, who's got a peanut for turtle paste?
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Happy Hour. NBA D-League coaches, nationally syndicated radio hosts, TV writers, comedians. You never know who will call in a Happy Hour. Call Hoppy now. 856-49-HOPPY. Tweet at him at Ryan Hoppy Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet that the other stations are tuned in to.
Okay.
Kardashian and Kanye West may be divorcing.
When I divorced him, you have to know it came down to just one thing. His personality.
But there's still a whole lot of love and respect between the former couple.
Oh, that's good.
I married the best rapper of all time.
That's good.
A talented, legit genius who gave me 4 incredible kids.
And a lot of kids.
In a new profile for WSJ Magazine's November...
Wall Street Journal, rather.
...issue, the 41-year-old reality star opens up about the rapper and his continued involvement in her...
Actually, I think WSJ as well. Never mind.
...her professional life. She tells the mag, quote, he has a piece of Skims himself and gives the team inspiration, but also information.
That's good. I don't care anymore. What's going on with Britney Spears?
Aren't I supposed to play the role in my own life?
Oh, she's crazy.
Britney Spears is giving fans a taste of her impressive dialect skills. The Matches songstress tried on a posh British accent in an Instagram video on Wednesday. She took to the platform to tell her fans she's been fielding some scripts for potential projects about her life, but she isn't finding much truth in them.
You know, it's really puzzling to me is all these people are starting to send me all these scripts.
Man, she needs some Klonopin.
For my own life, but none of the scripts are even true.
Britney compared her situation to that of Madonna, who recently revealed on The Tonight Show.
You should never compare yourself to Madonna.
Show that people kept trying to make movies about her life, but she shot them down.
Yeah, Madonna's so cool.
Taking a lot of
a hot dog down the hallway.
She's with all of the falsehoods in the scripts and the directors who'd signed on.
I suddenly don't care. 856-49-HOPPY. We're almost out of here.
Britney Spears is sending her family a message. On Monday, the 39-year-old pop star took to Instagram to call out her family for what she claims is their hurtful behavior towards her. Quote, don't you find it weird when you jump through hoops to organize trips or set up lunch dates with people you love only to know they'll bail on you or leave after 10 minutes?
That's my life.
It's humiliating, and it's like every person I've ever opened to immediately says they'll be gone on a trip for 2 weeks after.
That's
okay, I get it. They're only available to me when it's convenient for them. Well, I'm no longer available to any of them now, Britney wrote in part. The Pretty Girl songstress wrote the lengthy caption alongside a picture of her mini typewriter and pink roses, adding, quote, I don't mind being alone, and actually, I'm tired of being this understanding Mother Teresa. If you're rude to me, then I'm done. Peace out.
Yeah, but you keep talking about it. 856-49-HOPPY. It's 856-494-6773. Tweet at me at Ryan Happy Radio, and you can email me ryanhappyradio@gmail.com. This last segment's being brought to you by Amir Academy of Martial Arts at amiracademy.com. All right. What's going on with the Tampa Bay Rays? All 10,000 people in this town care.
Next here tonight to the surprising and perhaps revealing new developments today on the ongoing saga surrounding the Tampa Bay's Rays future and the owner's attempt to share the team with Montreal. Tonight there is a new eye-catching billboard right by the Trop aimed right at the front office of the Rays. And ABC Action News reporter Sarah Hollenbeck with who's behind the message and the impact it could have in the struggle to keep the team here.
Right off I-275, just west of Tropicana Field, it's a message hard to miss in, quote, Dear Rays, Montreal won't pay for your new stadium. Sincerely, taxpayers.
Yeah, Montreal didn't even care about the Expos. Why would they want another baseball team? It's a hockey town.
End quote. Renaud Broussard flew in from Montreal to make sure this billboard is put on full display.
And then he went and hung out, eyes wide shut.
If the Rays want to come and play in Montreal, they're more than welcome to do it. We'll give them a warm Canadian welcome. But we're not...
A warm Canadian welcome. It's actually very cold there, bro.
We're going to let them use our wallets as an open bar.
Broussard is with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation and says his nonprofit organization is open to the split-season concept shared between Tampa Bay and Montreal, but adds asking taxpayers to fund a part-time stadium is ludicrous.
The city of Montreal has a couple of $100 million in budget shortfall this year, so there's no money available. But even if there was some money available, there are bigger priorities in building a new ballpark.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to with the legacy of the Tampa Bay Rays. There's bigger priorities. Literally every single thing ever. Literally the life of the spider that you almost walked over walking to your car today matters more than the Tampa Bay Rays. They need to just disintegrate and go away forever. But frankly, they're kind of already doing that because nobody cares.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
Happy hour is now over. Happy hour is now over. Happy hour is now over.
And like that, he's gone.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.